keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's bona fide talk. God, church, praise God. I am your host, Evangelist Falana, a.k.a. Bonafide Talk, and you are listening to the Christian radio broadcast, Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. We are delighted that you have joined us today and equally delighted about our featured guest this evening. But before we get started, let us open up tonight's radio broadcast with a prayer, okay? So clear all hearts and minds, please. Dear God, we come to you now. We are bowing our heads to you at the throne of grace. Dear God, we just want to say thank you for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for your blessings and even our tough love blessings that you send our way to discipline us, because we know that you chastise us only because you love us, dear God. Dear God, I ask that you give me and the featured guest the appropriate words to say so that we are able to minister to the needs of your people. I ask that you seal us from the tactics of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, up to and including trying to block this message coming from tonight's radio broadcast. It is all about you, dear God. Dear God, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Family, we are going to take a quick commercial break. Here is a message from our sponsor, Pastor Frank Henderson of Excel Fellowship.
What's up, everybody? It's your man, Frank Henderson, the pastor of Excel Fellowship Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's an honor to meet you and to come to you right here on Bonafide Radio. Check it out. Excel Fellowship Church, we meet every Sunday at 11 a.m. at 3908 Arrow Drive, right here in the big city of Raleigh, North Carolina. Our mission is real simple. We are reaching the lost, equipping the saints, and manifesting Christ. We look forward to seeing you real soon. Okay, now let's get back to Bonafide Talk.
Welcome back, guys. You are listening to the live broadcast Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. It is now time to present our featured guest. She is a mother, public speaker, possibly, folks, a future radio talk show host on the BFTM 103.3 radio network, author of The Fallen State of Man. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, the woman of the hour. Let's put our hands together to welcome Prophetess Monica Phillips. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Prophetess Monica, it is an honor and a privilege to have you back for part two of The Fallen State of Man. How has your week been, or how has life been for you since the last radio broadcast?
Busy, amen. A lot of people are asking about the ministry of the book. It's a message that the Lord gave me, none of my own. As I stated, the first broadcast, I wasn't an author until he gave me this script to write. And so I thank God for that. But people are asking, they're inquiring about the book, and there are people that have already read the book that is giving the book great reviews. So I bless God for that as well. It's for his glory.
Amen. Amen. Prophetess Monica, the switchboard is lit up, so I want to thank each and every one of you that are in the chat room. Mwah, baby, I love you. For the million one of you guys that are on the switchboard, mwah, guys, we love you. If anyone has a question or a comment and would like to participate in tonight's discussion, dial now 347-327-9688 and press 1. Amen, amen. So, Prophetess Monica, you had a dream,
yes,
and God told you to write the book as he gave you the vision, correct?
Correct. That's correct.
For those of us that were not fortunate enough to have heard the last radio broadcast, can you go into more detail with us about the dream and vision you had, please?
I absolutely can. The Lord gave me this. It's a closed vision. It was a closed vision. It was the day that all the believers came together. And sometimes in dreams when you're prophetic, you know what took place in the dream before it gets to the actual place that the dream begins at. You get that? And so in the dream, I knew that this was a day that all the believers all across the world came together. And we came together in an amusement park, which stood out to me. We were in an amusement park, and, of course, it's all believers. Everyone's talking the same language. We're talking the same talk. We're loving on Jesus. We're loving on each other. We're celebrating each other. And it appeared that we were all together as one. And then there was a couple of people on the opposite side of the fence who was at the roller coaster. And we began to talk about his goodness, and I began to talk about how much we love Jesus and how God has delivered me from, you know, things in my life. And everyone was on the same page. And
sure,
it was a hot, sunny day, clear sky. And all of a sudden, the sky began to turn from sunny to gray, started turning to gray. And so people began to kind of look up with a little concern because, you know, it just switched. And as we were standing there, the cloud began to billow, and they were beginning to get thick. And now there's more concern from the believers. And certainly the wind started picking up. It was almost like it was going to rain, but it never did. And next thing I know, the clouds begin to billow, and then out of the east part of the sky, a cross came out, and it appeared to be Jesus on this cross. So now everyone is running and screaming and grabbing for their children, and of course I'm standing there saying, "This is Jesus." And so I'm calling out to him, "Jesus, Jesus, you know, help us." And, of course, in my mind, it's like, okay, now is this the return of Christ? But it wasn't, because he was still nailed to the cross, but his robe, it was bloody. And it was tattered, and he was crying. And the clouds began to billow again, and then there was a black hooded figure that came out. Now, everything, every detail of Jesus was the same as when he was crucified on the cross over 2,000 years ago. But the black hooded figure, he came out. He had ropes. He was bound by ropes around his neck, his two hands, and his feet, you know, and I'm still crying out to Jesus. I never stopped calling him. I remember I was getting anxious because he wouldn't respond to us, his people. He wouldn't respond.
Okay.
He wouldn't respond. So I began to just call out to him. And, you know, Jesus, I never stopped calling him. And eventually the Lord allowed me to feel what he was feeling. And I said, "Wait a minute, why is Jesus even back on the cross? Why is his robe bloody and tattered?" And it was so overwhelming for me in the dream that I buckled down to my knees. I ended up in a fetal position. And when I woke up, I heard the screams of the people. I heard them. It woke me up, the screams of the people. And after that, the Lord just began to give me the revelation. Probably about 2 weeks later, the Holy Spirit began to give me the revelation of the vision, and he told me to write it.
We have a caller, prophetess. Caller with the number ending in 7255. You are now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question, comment for myself or our featured guest, Prophetess Monica Phillips?
Hello.
Hello, yes, you're now on Bonafide Talk.
Oh, how are you? How you doing, Evangelist Lana?
Hello, is this Bishop Martin?
Yes, it is.
Hello, hello, how are you?
Praise God, I'm okay.
Good, good.
I want to put a comment in because I was listening to the dream last time, you know, and
okay.
what I can get out of it so far is when you look at the book of Hebrews 10:26 and you continue to read, it says that if a person has accepted the knowledge of the truth, if they willfully sin, they are crucifying the Son of God afresh and bringing him to open shame. That's what came to my mind. Because, see, the first time the world crucified Jesus, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But this time, we do know what we're doing. And the people around the earth, especially in the church, a lot of people in the churches are just, they're doing what they want to do, all right?
Right.
And they're doing it willfully. Therefore, Christ is crucified afresh, and they know exactly what they're doing, but yet they don't care about it. I believe that Jesus was quiet because the church is praying, but they haven't done what they were supposed to do. They are not just pray and seek God, but they're supposed to turn from their wicked ways. So I believe that's the reason why Jesus is quiet, because we have not turned from our wicked ways. We have bowed down to a lot of things that are going on. Five states has already accepted same-sex marriage. The abortion is still going on. 60 million babies were killed since Roe v. Wade, and the church is saying absolutely nothing about it. Well, back in the Old Testament, two of the biggest idols, you know, was abominations of worshiping Satan by killing children, human sacrifice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we're supposed to be one nation under God. It was outlawed.
Yes.
Sodomy was outlawed. Killing children was outlawed. But now it's the law, and people are going along with it. So I do believe that to be true. That the Lord is telling us that we are crucifying him again, but this time we know exactly what we're doing, so we need to repent. We need to turn from it.
Amen. Repentance is key. Praise God for your comment there and your contribution, Bishop Roland Martin. And, you know, Prophetess Monica, as I hear you describe the dream, one thing that came to mind as you and I were talking during the pre-interview, all of the believers were standing around on one accord, or so it appeared. And as you and as Bishop Roland were talking, then the dark cloud came, the wind picked up, pure mayhem. Jesus was on the cross. So what that tells me, or that reminds me of, that everyone who professes Christ isn't really for Christ, therefore we're putting Jesus right back on the cross.
Amen.
Right. Right, that's true. In the dream, and let me just say, because I like to be as transparent as I possibly can be, I don't have to wait for nobody to tell on me because I tell on myself. You know,
Amen.
In the dream, I was terrified. I was looking in pure terror, and all of this happened in midair. After the black hooded figure appeared, there was two sand hills appeared in the sky. And I'm standing there. I see all the chaos around me, but I couldn't hear anything. And once the black figure started tumbling, he started falling to earth, but it's still in the sky. He ended up in one of the sand hills. And once his cross ended up in the sand hill, everything started back moving in real time. I can hear the people screaming. I can see them grabbing for their kids. And in my mind, well, if this was the second coming of Christ, you would think we would be ready because this is all believers here. But we wasn't ready. We wasn't
ready. I think that's 100% correct, because it's a warning that Jesus is coming. And it's also a warning that judgment is going to begin at the house of God.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, as I listen to you, Prophetess, and Bishop Roland Martin, what I hear is this. What I hear is that, you know, no disrespect to our traditional churches or however one may look at that, but we simply aren't preaching repentance enough. We're pretty much being told that it's okay for us to fornicate on the side. Been there, okay?
Right.
I'm preaching to the choir here. I've been there. It's okay to do this. It's okay to sleep with someone that's married because he says that God didn't join them together. All kinds of craziness, you know. It's okay to be in a homosexual relationship because God is going to forgive you. It's going to be okay. I did a show about bestiality and sleeping with dead people. And all, you know, all these things are okay now, but they're not cool. So, you know, we have an obligation as Christians, not only as prophetesses, apostles, bishops, and all the different segments of the fivefold ministry. We have an obligation as Christians to preach that if you do not repent of your wicked ways, you're going to hell. Yes, you may well have saved a lot of souls along the way, but I do not want to be that one that approaches God on judgment day and say, God, I did this, I did that, and he tells me, I know ye not, ye worker of iniquity, because I have not fallen to my knees to repent. Dear God, I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Here is the Love You song by none other than our featured guest, Prophetess Monica Phillips.
Of a love you song.
Back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. And you're listening to Bonafide Talk live now. Prophetess Monica, you have just officially become my Patti LaBelle of gospel. I love that song, the Love You song. What inspired
that song?
Isn't it? What inspired that song, Prophetess?
Well, all of the songs that God has given me, they were just God-driven. Again, I wasn't a songwriter until he gave me the song to write. I was just in my brother's basement one day just washing clothes, and I heard the song, the melody, and I just kind of started singing it, and it was the Love You song after that. So a lot of people have been blessed by the ministry of that. I just pray that I'm able to take that song further than it's gone already.
And
so
it will. It will, no doubt about it. And that is Bonafide Talk, Prophetess. That is Bonafide Talk. Let's go back to your book for a moment. I'm reflecting on the part when you said, "Why won't you help us, Jesus? Why won't you look at us?" And during that, you were crying, and you were saying that for weeks you hadn't heard anything from God. Then you began to hear screams, and that's when he told you to write the book. Now, I'm just wondering, was because you also mentioned your contribution, our contributions to nailing Jesus back on the cross, such as gossip and all the various sins. Were those the screams you were hearing? What were the screams from, and what precipitated the screams?
Well, the screams that I was hearing was from the saints at the park. I woke up when I came out of the vision. I was literally hearing screams of the people that was around in the park. We were afraid. We were very afraid. And then, as I said before, even if it was the coming of Christ, somewhere in us, we should have been celebrating that because we're believers, right?
Absolutely.
We should have celebrating that because this is the time that we've been waiting on. This is the moment that we've been waiting on. We've been saying, "Jesus, take the wheel. Come on and get us, Jesus." And now that he comes through the clouds, none of us was ready. And so I just want to elaborate on the amusement part, because every inch of this, wherever you go in this book, there is meat in this book. You don't have to read all 17 chapters. Where you go in this book is going to identify something in your life. When he gave me the revelation of the amusement park, is a place where we go, you know, to have fun. You know, everything is quick. The ride is like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. The food, it thrills our flesh. And so we were gathered in this place. It was fleshly. It was all flesh. It was nothing depth. It was nothing deep. And that's what God was saying to us about the believers. We want these quick fix. We want microwave messages. You know, we just want something from God. We don't want to pray. We don't want to fast.
Amen.
We don't want carry. We don't want to do any of the things that God is requiring us to do, but we want it quick. And that's what he was saying, how the amusement part, it represents the flesh.
Wow.
But he wanted the spirit of him. And that was so profound to me when he said that. I said, wow, the amusement part. Because, you know, it's almost like the church. We're being entertained.
Very much
so. You know,
so.
we have our cliques. We have, you know, the pastor's set and everybody trying to get in the pastor. We have all these auxiliaries trying to beat this auxiliary out. It's nothing but flesh. But God is calling for us to walk in the spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Glory.
You got to preach that prophetess. Glory be to God. You got to preach that prophetess. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Bonafide Talk Family, if anyone else would like to participate in this discussion, dial now 347-327-9688 and press 1. Go ahead, Bishop Martin.
Yeah, that dream is wide open. It's really touching my heart because you can go many ways with it and still stay on the same topic about crucifying the Son out of fresh. Because, Evangelist Lonnie, as you were saying, I don't want to be standing before Jesus when he says, I never knew you. You know, and Jesus said that for a reason, because if you go back in the book of Ezekiel, it says when an unrighteous man turns from his unrighteousness is no longer mentioned. But when a righteous man turns from his righteousness is no longer mentioned. So can you imagine all those people saying to Jesus, Lord, Lord, have I cast out demons in your name, and in your name I've done many, many works? Yes, but they went back into the world. They began to live the way they wanted to live. They forgot all about the Lord. And during his coming, they find a kind Jesus saying, what about all the things that I did many years ago? But because a righteous man has turned from his righteousness, Jesus says, for he puts it quick. He says, I never knew you. All right? And in Revelation, the Lord warns everybody, and he says, come out from among them, my people. Now, he's talking to the church. You know, you see all this wicked stuff that's going on today, and the church is bowing down to it. But Jesus says, look, come out from among them, my people, lest you perish with them. And if you don't come out, I will fight against you with the sword that's in my mouth. So if you can imagine all the Christians jumping on the amusement park, jumping on the bandwagon of sin, now they're being pumped up by the Antichrist. They have the word 666. They forgot all about the Holy Ghost. They forgot all about praying and fasting. They forgot about Jesus. Now they're all pumped up with carnality, and they believe, along with the Antichrist, that they could beat that one that's on the horse. So now they are on the other side waiting for Jesus to defeat them when they used to be in the church. So the question is, to the church, what side of the sword are you going to be on? Are you going to be behind Jesus when he comes back as one of the saints? Or are you going to be in front of Jesus, defeated by his sword, and all the blood is going to come up to a horse's bridle? So we have to make up our mind now. The church has got to make up their mind before it's too late.
We have a little caller, ladies and gentlemen. Caller with the number ending in 7840. You are now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
Well, first of all, I just would like to say it is an opportunity to be in the presence of God, even via phone, listening to the bishop and listening to the woman of God, and hearing, and also woman of God, the song that I just heard, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Praise
it was awesome.
Thank you.
It was a very beautiful song. And piggybacking off what the bishop was saying, in terms of the falling away and how people are getting puffed up and how they're operating in emotions, speaking to the man and the woman of God, the Bible clearly tells us in the book of John, I believe it's 16:13, that when the spirit of truth comes upon you, it'll show you what is true, lead you into all truths, and tell you the things that are to come. There are a lot of people in today's time of society, especially our churches, they are not connected to the truth. AT&T came by, they got connected. Metro came by, they got connected. Facebook came up, they got connected. But when the Holy Spirit came up, I mean, they just won't connect to it for some reason. But you have to remember, I'm from the Bay Area. By the way, my name is Evangelist Andre Bean, and God bless you all.
I'm originally from the Bay Area.
Glory be to God. I'm originally from the Bay Area, and I can recall going out to the Berkeley Marina, and I was asking some of the gentlemen. They have the races out there with the sailboats, and I'm asking some of the guys out there, how do they operate these sailboats? And they told me, whichever way the wind blow, this is the way that the sailboats go. And that's when God ministered to my spirit. We have a lot of sailboat Christians out there. Whichever way the wind blows, that's which way they go. Whatever sounds good, whatever feels good. See, they're operating on emotions. If you go to Acts 1 and 8, when it talks about the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to go out and you'll be able to preach in Jameer. This is in red ink. This is nothing to the saints. This is when Jesus is speaking, I believe that we should take it personal, like the woman of God was saying. You know, and he tells us, but you know, you won't be able to do these things until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And a lot of times we wonder why we can't do certain things, why our kids go astray, why our marriages are being shaken like they are. The statistics show, I think, almost 67% of Christian community marriages are being ending up in divorce. There's more people getting divorced than there are getting married. I agree with the bishop solely, and also the episodes that's coming from the book that you guys are implementing across the phone. There's just been a great falling away, and I believe that it's time for us. I mean, you know, the enemy, he's radical. He's out there doing. He has his advocates, and they're doing whatever they want to do. If you notice, they don't have no shame in doing what they're doing either. And it's time for God's people to take a bold stand, like the woman of God. We love all people, but when she was speaking about the, you know, we talked about this last year. I mean, on the last segment. The woman of God was speaking about, you know, like some people think it's okay to go out and just have homosexuals and different things. Now, we love all people. You know, Jesus loves everyone. And when the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians that let this mind be that was also in Christ Jesus. But at the same time, when you see these people, they come together. And I was telling you guys last week on the radio that they took a no that was voted and stamped and approved by the president and the Sacramento State Capitol and everything. They unified, got together, turned a no into a yes. And the way that they did it, now, again, God says he'll take the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. But the way that they did it, they unified. And in conclusion, in closure, what I would like to say is that one thing I am not seeing in the body of Christ is the unification of the body.
Come on, there you go.
The eye can't say to the arm, I don't need you. The arm can't say to the leg, I don't need you. We all need each other. Hezekiah Walker wrote a great song, I need you to survive. I won't harm you with word from your mouth. But instead of edifying each other, lifting each other up in faith, we have a tendency of vilifying one another, which means to assassinate one character. So I do believe that the body of Christ needs to come together. And if we start operating in the unction of the Holy Spirit, like the bishop said, we'll see a world of difference.
Praise God. Amen.
At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into another quick commercial break. Here is none other than Prophetess Monica Phillips again. You are first.
My God.
Jesus, you're first.
Praise God. Amen. Beautiful song.
Glory be to God.
Oh, that song just touched my spirit in such a special way. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. We have with us tonight our featured guest, Prophetess Monica Phillips. Prophetess Monica, thank you again so much for being the featured guest on Bonafide Talk. The book that you have, how do we get a hold of this book?
You can go on Amazon. You can go to www.exlibris.com. Ebook is also available on that site. The ISBN number is 978-1-4990-2568.
Excellent. Very good. And we're going to repeat that again before the end of tonight's broadcast, Prophetess. So in the event that someone didn't have some pen and paper handy when you were on talking to us about that, let's go back to your book. Last episode we talked about, I believe there was a prophetess friend that was on deck also on our last episode together, about how when we first got saved, we were so motivated, you know? We wanted to tell the world we were saved, we were saved. That was addressed in the book as well, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Basically, we need to go back to our first love, just
amen.
Out the gate. There is a chapter in the book called Carnal Christian. You know, there are two types of Christians. You have the carnal Christian and you have the spiritual Christian. And to me, it's relating to the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. The five foolish virgins, the five wise, they dressed alike. They had oil in their lamps. They, you know, they all fell asleep together. They all heard the same cry. But at the end of the day, five of them could not get in. So you have the five wise and the five foolish. They all look the same. And so here you have the carnal Christians. And I talk about in my own life, I mastered that thing called carnal Christian living. I was able to go to church. I was shouting. I was speaking in tongues. I was singing on the praise team, singing in the choir. But then when I got done with all of that, I was on the phone with my dude telling him to come over so we can fornicate. This is how low that God have allowed me to be, because if I have to tell my stuff to get somebody else free, I'm willing to do that because God will get the glory in it. So
amen.
I mastered that thing called carnal Christian living. And this is what we have in the church. I mean, it's the weed and tear. They're all growing together. They look the same. But in the end, God is going to do the separating. So when I was living a carnal Christian life, I dressed up in religion. I had on my sockets, my suits, but at the end of the day, I wasn't living how God said we should live as Christians. And that's what's wrong with us today. And this is the thing that continue to put Jesus back on the cross. We keep crucifying him because, as the bishop said, we know what we're doing now. We're choosing. We cannot continue in sin that grace may abound. We cannot keep saying, well, the Lord ain't through with me yet. Just be patient with me. No, you have to kill your nasty flesh.
Amen.
Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, prophetess.
Amen. And that's what the carnal Christian living is about. We don't want to crucify this flesh. You know, we have to remember that, you know, straight is the way. There are few that's going to find that road. And even when I think about that thing myself, as the bishop was talking about the other scripture, how when we stand before Jesus, he said, I never knew you. That's even in the book, because I cast out demons. The Lord uses me to prophesy in every area of that scripture. He uses me there. So that scripture always keep me on my toes, because I'm saying, God, these are the things that I do. So can you imagine getting to the door and not being able to get in? Can you imagine him saying, I don't know you, but I never knew you? Can you imagine? And so those things keep me on my toes. I have to pray, cry, and crucify this flesh daily. And even when he was giving me the revelation of this book and the things that took place in the book, yes, I was crying. I'm repenting because it was a real place. I was there in that vision. I was there. You know, I wasn't talking. I wasn't calling out to Jesus. He was right there with us, and we wasn't ready. So what we have to do, as the man of God said, I think his name was Elder Dean, we have to make up in our own mind, because I can have this book, and this book is only reflecting off of the word of God. This is not now, you know, it's the word of God that he gave me to write. But we have to decide in ourselves that this is how we want to live, because at the end of the day, this thing is wrapping up quickly. And where's your
Amen.
Soul going to spend it?
Amen. Amen. That is the truth. Hey, and that
Lord,
right there is what
you
call
what I'm looking at,
bona fide talk.
You know what I'm looking at? When you see the carnal Christians, a person is going to have to make up his mind. As Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We're going to have to choose to hang around real godly people, because
that's
the mirror can show what a man looks like, but what he's really like is it can be showed by the type of friends he keeps, all right? So he's going to have to make up his mind. He's going to have to hang around people who are for real for Jesus, because as long as he's comfortable around other lukewarm Christians, then he's going to be in that amusement park.
That's bona fide talk. That is bona fide talk. Glory be to God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another caller. Hold on just a second. We have another caller. Caller with the number ending in 9629. You're now on Bona Fide Talk. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
Evangelist Fulana, you know who.
Hello, how you doing?
Who is this?
Is this Ronald Brumby?
This is Andre.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my goodness. It's been a minute, baby. This is my associate producer, guys, Andre Robertson. Hey, bro.
Hey, Andre. I remember you.
Hey. How are you, son?
How you guys doing?
Doing well. What is your contribution to tonight's discussion, Andre?
Well, actually, I was just calling in to say, hey, I just finished cooking dinner, and I'm in the process of getting my nutrition on.
Right. Okay. And you know what? My apologies to you, because your number looks very similar to Ronald. You know Pastor B, right?
Right.
Yes, your number looks very similar to him. Andre, thank you for tuning in. Go ahead and get your nutrition on, but stay with us. We have so much more to go. Prophetess Monica, this book is just awesome. So now, as time went by, we become complacent. We let some issues go. You know, we lack some discipline in a lot of areas. You know, we forgot that fire we had, you know. We don't want to do anything wrong. Everything that we want to do is we want to be pleasing to God, you know, and we want to be that light. And, you know, we talked about these things on the last episode that we worked on, Prophetess Monica, about how as babes in Christ, many of us didn't even know the Ten Commandments, but we were on fire for God. Gosh, we need that back. You know, that secular song out that talks about let's get our sexy back. We need to get our Christ back. Amen?
Absolutely. That's what happened. We, you know, when we first got saved, I remember, you know, I didn't let no junk in. I didn't want to gossip. I didn't want to do anything that was going to displease my God. And so that's how I was when I first got saved. But, you know, as time went on and life started happening, we kind of got comfortable, as you said, and we got complacent in our walk with Christ. You know, some storms came. You know, it kind of perhaps shook our faith some. And so we got complacent. And I know for me, being in this thing new, I'm 35 years in now, but being in the new, I'm watching people's lives. And what we have to realize is we may be the only Jesus that someone would ever see. We are
Amen.
The 67th book. We are
Great
the 67th book. We are. And so as I begin to watch people's lives in the church, and I'm saying, this is not right. This can't be God. And so then I begin to pattern myself. Unfortunately, this is an ugly truth. I started looking at some of the people that I was around. And so
right.
I was seeing how they were living, and they was okay with that. So I started kind of living the way they was living. And it's not their fault. It's my fault because I chose it. But again, as the man of God said, we have to get around people that's walking the same walk we're walking, talking the same talk, and only that living it. Because back at the amusement park, we were there. We were at the fence waiting to get on the roller coaster. There was people on the opposite side of the fence. We were on the inside of the fence, but we were still separated and divided by a fence.
And speaking of separation and division, let's talk about denominations. You and I discussed that a couple of days ago during the second pre-interview. Let's talk about the division denominations. How about that in Christianity, according to my research that I did, we've got about 32,000 different denominations. How can that be when we're all supposed to be in oneness with Christ? How is that possible, Prophetess?
Well, to me, And I'm just going to say, and people probably won't like me for saying this, I think that is one of the best tools that the devil have to keep the body of Christ separated. Because it's only one body of Christ. And
Amen.
It's coming to the unity of who he is. And like we were saying, some people just went out and started some denominations because they got mad because the other person wasn't doing it right. You know what I'm saying? People have gotten up and started churches, not because God called them to start the church, but because they got mad at the pastor that they were sitting under because he didn't do something that they wanted
that.
Him.
You better say that.
Amen.
They
Amen.
Said, well, better. But you have to have the call of God. And this is why we have so many abortions in the church. This is why I'm talking about spiritual abortions. We
sure.
have spiritual
sure.
abortions. We have. You know, we have drive-by shootings. We have, you know, slaughterhouses because a lot of people just got up and went. You know, so, you know, I don't fight nobody's denomination or things like that, but I know that I am about Jesus. Just give me Jesus. I don't want your denomination. I don't want your church mechanic. Just give me Jesus because at the end
Amen.
Of the day, do not save you, but Jesus does.
You better preach that
promise. Amen. You know, another reason why we have so many denominations is because people come from different walks of life, you know, and different customs and different traditions. And the devil wants everybody to focus on tradition and custom and what foot you dance on and what tambourine you use, because that's easy. But the hard part is denying the flesh in the heat of temptations. Therefore, the commandments of Jesus Christ is always going to be part of the Christian church, in spite of the denomination or the custom.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Evangelist Andre, are you still on board?
Yes, I am here.
I thought I felt something. Did you have something else that you'd like to say?
Well, basically what I wanted to say was, I wanted, first of all, when the woman of God was speaking about the her raw testimony in regards to how she said she was dressing the part, looking the part, you know, but she didn't want to get to before God and not get the part. She said she had on her Holy Ghost stockings and her dress and everything else, and then she would get home and she would make a call. This is why it's so essential for us to give our testimonies, and we need to give it raw. They say keep
Absolutely.
It 100. I say keep it 1,000, because apparently 100 ain't working for nobody no more. It appears to me that, in terms of the denominations, I agree with the bishop. I also agree with the woman of God. I just believe that. Well, I always think about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, at first chapter 12. If you go to, I think verse 26, when one part of the body suffer, we all suffer. And, but for us to even see that we all suffer, because you can get to a Kojic church and you might hear them put their mouths on me, being in the position that God has placed me in. I get to some places and I might hear one church talk about another body. I hear go get
right.
to that church and then hear another church talk about another part of the body.
Right.
But the Bible says that we all make up one body, which is the body of Christ. So So if we're all together and we're noticing that there are some faults or some things that are going on with another body of believers, and they just happen to be believing something different or whatever have you, or doing theirs a different way, then I believe if we find fault in them, or we see some things where they are, where they probably need strength in or some growing in, then the Bible clearly states that when two or three or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst also.
Come on,
so therefore, that is for us. That's the time we need to come together and we need to pray. See, if we all are one accord with one accord, and we pray for that body that seems to be the weakest in our sight, even though God says he reigns on the just and the unjust, which is why the drunk can't say nothing about the prostitute. The prostitute, she can't say nothing about the whoremonger. The whoremonger can't say nothing about the preacher. The preacher can't.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So we have to understand that we are all one. And until we come to that, it goes right back to being connected to the Holy Spirit, what the bishop was talking about, because a lot of people, a lot of pastors, I mean, I'm just going to say it, I can't name any names, but a lot of people are not preaching or teaching holiness no more. They're just not doing it, and that's a trick of the enemy. So you get pumped up on prosperity and what you should have and all this.
Somebody.
We are part of a royal
you're
priesthood,
now.
And we're part of a chosen generation according to the book of Peter. But we need to know about some holiness. See, it's that holiness in the book of Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, when Jesus called the 12 disciples over, and he says, I give you the power and the authority. You notice they didn't get the power until they got the authority. You go with the Acts 1 and 8 again, you don't get that power and authority until you receive the Holy Spirit. When that Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you'll be able to go and preach and teach in Jamiria and Judea, Jerusalem, and Samaria. You know, he said you won't be able to do this until all the ends of the earth. You won't be able to do these things until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we tap into that, and then you can get one body. Because I myself, when I hear certain people speak about another body, like it can even be Catholic or whatever have you. But then this is our time to come together. Let's pray for our Catholic brothers and sisters. Because
they are still our
brothers and sisters in Christ according to the word of God.
That's
amen.
Good.
That's right.
Amen. Go ahead, Bishop Rowland. I hear you. Go ahead.
I'm agreeing with him 100%. I'm listening to him preach.
The denominations
are called by Jesus, and when we obey the word, we are one in Christ. So we should not point fingers at other people just because they're
across
the street from us. We
need
to pray for each other. A true Christian is love first before he's anything.
You better go ahead, Bishop. You better go ahead. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Which brings me back to the next part, Prophetess Monica. You mentioned, or we talked about the last time, if you want to change to come, you have to look inward, not outward. Would you elaborate on that for us, please?
Absolutely. As I was saying, when the Lord had started giving me the revelation, the Holy Spirit began to give me the revelation of everything that took place in the dream, he began to show me my ugly truth, my ugliness. And I literally turned away because my truth was so ugly. And then I realized that if I want change, I have to be the change that change needs. So it's going to have to start with me. What I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to look at my ugly truth and say, Lord, deal with me. Deal with me until my life is completely yours. And once I begin to look at the things that he was showing me about myself, because you know yourself better than anybody.
Amen.
And
thank you, Jesus.
And then the part in the book that says, if Jesus was in a crowded room with you and he had to give a speech about you, what would he say about you? If he had to give a speech about you in a crowded room, what would he say about you in your state where you are right now? And I had to really look at that. I truly want him to say that this is my daughter and who I'm well pleased. I want him to be able to say she's doing the things that she needs to do from her heart for me. I wanted him to say that. And so I had to look at myself and say, Lord, okay, I need you to clean this up. Would you forgive me for this? Would you forgive me for this? Would you forgive me for this? And that's what it has to boil down to. it has to come to a place where you have to deal with you and allow the glory of God to fill your temple. And once the glory of God begins to fill your temple, you won't have room for gossip. You won't have room for lying. You have time for, you know, judging and talking about this person when you allow the glory of God to fill your temple, because we know that we are his temple.
Amen.
And that's what it comes to. I had to just deal with me, and that's what every believer has to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, I won't go into the extent of some of our conversations, Prophetess Monica, because that's a sister-to-sister conversation. But like myself, after all that you've been through, although there were times, from what I gather from you, you did not feel his presence, that did not stop you from reaching out to God. And I think that that hinders a lot of people when they're not, when they get kind of scared, or they start doubting God and doubting a whole bunch of different things when they don't feel his presence. What would be your advice to that individual who has given up on God?
Wow. That's another show. just coming through a horrific season in my life where I felt like, and I knew he hadn't abandoned me, but I just felt like he did.
Sure.
But I kept moving through it, you know. People were calling me, can you come sing? Can you come and bury our dead? Can you? And I'm saying to God, Lord, I can't help nobody because I don't have anything left. Let the dead bury the dead. How can I bury these folks dead? And I'm a dead man walking myself. That's another show, Bishop and Evangelist Andre.
Praise God.
You real, though. Preach. You real.
But I kept moving through it, you know, because it's not a feeling. You know, you have to step out on nothing and believe something is there. And so because I know that, I just kept moving through it. And certainly God, he came through. And I knew that he would. But when you go through so many things in your life, you know, it disturbs you, it frustrates you that he's not there, but he's really there. So my advice is to keep moving through it. And at least you're moving through it. You know, you're not in one spot. So just keep moving and just allow God to do what he needs to do in your life.
That's bona fide talk. Amen.
Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm gonna have to this is this is Evangelist Dean. I'm just gonna have to sign out. I told Sister Falana I was getting ready to start my walk with my crew, and I had to stop and sit down to listen and be a part of this radio, to be a part of this show in this particular segment. I just want to say it was an opportunity being granted to me. Woman of God, I want you to keep up the good fight of faith. Bishop, you already know the end of the story. And I just pray that we can all, again, come together as one and let's continue to pray for unity in the body of Christ. Unity in the body of Christ. We already can turn on the TV for 2 minutes and see what the enemy is doing. I mean, it seems like his advocates are unifying, and it seems like everybody's coming out the closet except the saints. And it's time for us to stand up, take a bold stand for Christ. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, though I stand at the door and knock, if anyone hears my voice, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. The woman of God said something very essential when she said that our body is the Lord's temple. Yes, this is where God lives. This is where he resides. Somewhere in the book of Hebrews, it said this is his house. Now, you take into consideration, this is his house, and our bodies being the Lord's temple where God resides. Then you go back to the end, and Jesus said, the Bible says, though I stand at the door and knock, if anyone hears my voice and sup with him, I will come and sup with him and he with me. Now, here's what I have a problem with. If my body is the Lord's temple, what is God doing standing on the outside of his own house knocking? Amen.
Somewhere along the line, we've gotten comfortable and gave him an eviction notice and didn't even give him a 30-day notice. And here's the thing. When you kick God out, who or what did you invite in? Oh, it's just so much. That's another show. That's another show. But I was thinking about when the woman of God said that our body is the Lord's temple and saints have to. And woman of God, I want to commend you on being bold. This is why I'm trying to get as many people as I can to listen to this show, because the woman of God said she would leave church, go home, and then call her boo and say, "Come on over here so we can fornicate." God says, "And they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free." Now, since you keep preaching that truth, I'm telling you right now. If it's any sisters or anybody else on these lines, I guarantee you somebody is being delivered from you being keeping it 1,000. Somebody's been delivered.
Amen.
I know I am. I know
Amen.
I am. And I thank you.
Amen.
God bless you. I got to go now. I love you guys. And may the spirit of peace comfort you all.
All
God
right.
Bless you.
Thank
Listen,
you, Andre.
I have to go through because I have to go to work.
Okay, Bishop, thank you guys.
I have to go
guys.
To work, but I've enjoyed the show.
God bless you.
Excellent.
God bless you.
God bless you guys. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
I love the video, Prophetess Monica. I sit here, and I'm almost in tears because I feel where you're coming from. I feel where the brothers are that stop by to support this radio broadcast. They're so I'm like Marvin Gaye now. What's going on? I have a challenge, ladies and gentlemen, for the body of Christ, not just the leaders, but the believers. Repent.
Yes.
Repent,
yes.
For the kingdom of heaven
yes.
is at hand. You have to repent. We're nailing
yes.
Jesus to the cross, and he already died one time for our sins,
yes.
and we're going to turn around
yes.
and kill him again. Repent. Repent,
Jesus.
For the kingdom is at hand. And I'm going to have to go Jesus. To a commercial break and get my things to get myself together here so that I can continue this radio broadcast and do what God has called me to do. And I'm going
Thank
to play
you.
This song, you know, by my homegirl Appointed.
I
ladies and gentlemen, that was appointed. You know, I love her music too. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to it live on the BFTM 103.3 radio network. Prophetess Monica, I have a question, quick question for you. Are you able to hear me okay? Prophetess Monica. Okay, we're having some technical difficulties, guys, and I anticipated this fully. I do, Monica, if you're able to hear me, I truly appreciate your being a featured guest on Bonafide Talk. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. But if you haven't learned anything else tonight, remember this, as always.
Keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's Bonafide Talk.
Bonafide Talk.